Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
The development had been advertised as luxury riverfront living, though in reality it was just a row of narrow modern homes squeezed onto reclaimed industrial land along the water. Still, when they first moved in, it felt perfect. The houses were all oversized windows and sharp angles, built to maximize views of the river running behind the property. The bedroom sat downstairs while the kitchens and living rooms occupied the upper floor, where entire walls opened into glass overlooking the water. Everything smelled new for the first year or so: fresh paint, untouched carpet, new wood flooring that creaked differently than old houses did. That part mattered later, because nothing about the place felt haunted. There were no dark hallways or old staircases, no strange history anyone talked about. The entire neighborhood looked clean and modern, built for young professionals who wanted river views without actually living downtown. Most of the residents barely knew each other beyond polite conversations while unloading groceries or walking dogs along the riverside paths. At first, she loved that about the place. The river itself became part of their routine almost immediately. On weekends, they would walk along the water after dinner, especially at night when the city lights reflected across the surface and cargo ships moved slowly through the darkness farther downstream. Sometimes the vibration of distant engines carried faintly through the buildings in a way she found oddly calming. Nothing about the area ever felt threatening. Even the industrial history had mostly disappeared beneath redevelopment. Years earlier, the riverfront had apparently been crowded with warehouses, factories, and shipping structures, but almost all of it had been demolished long before the new homes were built. Occasionally, they would still pass old brick buildings farther down the river that survived the redevelopment projects, but for the most part, the area looked completely transformed now. That was why the experience unsettled her so badly later, because there was no reason for it. The first incident happened almost 2 years after they moved in. She woke suddenly sometime in the middle of the night without understanding why. At first, everything looked normal enough. The bedroom remained dark except for faint light filtering down the hallway from upstairs, and beside her, her husband remained asleep facing the opposite direction. Then she realized someone was standing at the foot of the bed. For a second or two, her mind refused to process what she was seeing. The figure appeared tall and completely motionless, little more than a dark shape against the faint gray shadows of the room. She could not make out a face or clothing or even clear features, only the overwhelming certainty that someone was standing there watching her. Then it moved toward her. The motion happened so suddenly and so unnaturally fast that panic overtook thought almost immediately. She woke up screaming. Her husband startled awake beside her while she sat upright trying to breathe normally again, her heart pounding hard enough to make her feel sick. Even while explaining the nightmare aloud, she already felt embarrassed by how shaken she sounded. The room looked completely ordinary now, empty, safe. By morning, she had mostly convinced herself it really had just been a nightmare. A terrible one, obviously, but still only a dream. That explanation held together surprisingly well during daylight. The following day passed normally enough. Work distracted her. Errands distracted her. By evening, she even found herself feeling slightly foolish about how badly the nightmare had affected her. Everyone had vivid dreams sometimes, especially stressful ones. She and her husband had both been exhausted lately, barely sleeping properly during the work week. The only thing that continued bothering her was how clearly she remembered it. Usually, dreams faded quickly once she woke up, details blurring within hours. But this one stayed sharp all day long, especially the feeling of waking and immediately knowing something was already in the room before she even saw it. That night, she almost stayed awake intentionally, trying not to think about it. Instead, she read in bed longer than usual while her husband fell asleep beside her. Eventually, exhaustion caught up with her too, and sometime after midnight, she drifted off. When she woke again, she knew immediately something was wrong. Not because she saw anything at first, but because of the feeling. That same awareness that someone else was already in the room with them. Her chest tightened instantly. For several seconds, she remained perfectly still, staring into the darkness, terrified to look toward the foot of the bed, even while part of her already knew she would see something standing there again. This time, the figure was closer. Not at the end of the bed now, but near the bedroom doorway. Completely still, watching her. Every rational thought in her mind tried forcing the same explanation again. Dream. Half-awake hallucination. Sleep paralysis. But before she could fully convince herself, the figure moved suddenly toward the bed again with the same impossible speed as before. She screamed before it even reached her. This time her husband turned on the bedside lamp immediately. The room was empty. The bedside lamp stayed on the rest of the night, and neither of them slept much afterward. At first, she struggled to explain why the second experience frightened her more than the first. Technically, both incidents could still be explained away the same way. Nightmares, stress, half-awake hallucinations. But the second time felt different because she had recognized the feeling before she even opened her eyes. That awareness stayed with her afterward. The certainty that something had already been standing in the room, watching her before she fully woke up. Her husband tried reassuring her the next morning, though she could tell he was unsettled too, despite attempting not to show it. He suggested stress, poor sleep, anxiety, even the possibility that she had partially carried details from the first nightmare into the second one because she had spent all day thinking about it. Logically, the explanation made sense. Emotionally, it didn't help much. Over the following week, she became quietly obsessed with sleeping normally again. She avoided caffeine at night, stopped watching television before bed, and intentionally exhausted herself during the evenings, hoping deeper sleep would prevent whatever had happened from repeating itself. For a while, it seemed to work. Nothing happened for nearly 2 weeks, and life slowly settled back into routine. The development returned to feeling ordinary again. They went back to walking along the river after dinner, talking about work, bills, vacations, and all the normal things that had nothing to do with shadowy figures standing silently inside bedrooms. But even after the panic faded, one habit remained. Whenever she woke during the night, she immediately looked toward the foot of the bed. Every time. Sometimes she caught herself doing it automatically before she was even fully awake, and that bothered her more than she admitted aloud. It was as though some part of her no longer fully trusted the room around her once the lights went out. One Friday evening, several neighbors ended up gathering at one of the townhouses along the river for drinks. Nothing unusual about it. The development occasionally had those kinds of informal get-togethers, especially during warmer months when everyone opened their upstairs balconies overlooking the water. Most of the conversation that night stayed forgettable. Work complaints, renovation projects, river traffic. One couple talked about selling their place already because the property taxes had climbed faster than expected, while another neighbor complained about hearing strange metallic banging sounds from somewhere along the river late at night. Several people blamed ongoing construction farther downstream. By the time most people started leaving, she found herself alone in the kitchen with one of the women from two houses down. They had never been especially close, but they knew each other well enough for casual conversations whenever they crossed paths outside. The woman seemed quieter than usual that night, distracted somehow, and for a while they simply stood talking while rinsing glasses and gathering empty bottles from the counter. Then the woman hesitated awkwardly before asking a strange question. Had she ever had trouble sleeping in the house? At first, the question seemed harmless enough. Everyone joked occasionally about the strange layout of the homes or the way sound carried differently through the riverfront buildings at night. She almost answered casually before noticing something uneasy in the woman's expression. The woman immediately tried brushing the question aside, laughing nervously and apologizing as though she already regretted bringing it up. But after another minute or so, she admitted she had been waking repeatedly during the night lately, with the overwhelming feeling that someone else was standing in the room. The moment she said that, a cold feeling moved through her chest. Not because of the words themselves, because of the way she said them, carefully, reluctantly, like someone already expecting to sound irrational the moment the words left her mouth. The woman kept talking quietly while stacking glasses near the sink and avoiding eye contact. She admitted she hadn't told many people about it because she assumed it was stress or poor sleep. Sometimes she would wake suddenly and feel convinced someone was standing near the bedroom doorway watching her. Other times she became afraid to look toward the end of the bed at all. Then she stopped moving entirely. Very softly, almost embarrassed by the question itself, she asked whether anything like that had ever happened to her. For several seconds, she couldn't answer. Until that moment, she had still been trying to convince herself her experiences were explainable somehow. Hearing someone else describe the same feeling in almost identical terms shattered that completely. Eventually, she admitted she had experienced something similar. The woman looked relieved immediately. Not comforted, relieved. That distinction stayed with her afterward because relief meant the woman had already begun wondering if she was losing her mind. The conversation that followed remained strangely cautious, almost as though neither of them wanted to say too much aloud once they realized the experiences matched. The woman eventually admitted she had seen something once or twice too, though only briefly and never clearly enough to describe. Just the impression of someone standing in the darkness before disappearing almost instantly. Neither of them used the word ghost. Neither of them wanted to. But by the time she walked home later that night, the development no longer felt the same to her. The river still moved quietly behind the houses, and light still reflected across the water exactly as it always had. But now every dark upstairs window along the development made her wonder who else might be lying awake at night staring toward the foot of the bed. After that conversation with the neighbor, sleep became different. Not impossible, just tense. Before, waking up in the middle of the night had been automatic and forgettable, the kind of thing most people barely registered before rolling over and falling back asleep again. Now every sudden awakening came with the same immediate rush of adrenaline as her eyes adjusted to the darkness and instinctively moved toward the bedroom doorway or the foot of the bed before she even realized she was doing it. That became the worst part of the entire experience, if not the figure itself and the anticipation of it. For a while, nothing happened again, and in some ways that almost made everything harder. If the encounters had continued every night, maybe she could have convinced herself she was dealing with some kind of sleep disorder or recurring nightmare pattern. Instead, there was only silence, interrupted occasionally by moments where she became certain she sensed movement somewhere inside the room, before finding nothing there at all. Life around the development continued normally too, which somehow made the whole thing feel even stranger. Neighbors still walked dogs along the river in the evenings. People hosted cookouts on their balconies overlooking the water. Delivery trucks arrived every morning. The world kept behaving as though nothing unusual existed there. And maybe it didn't. At least that was what she kept trying to tell herself. Then one night, nearly a month after the second encounter, she woke again. This time, there was no figure standing in the room. At first, she opened her eyes slowly and immediately felt that same awful awareness settle over her, the certainty that she was no longer alone. Beside her, her husband remained asleep while faint light from upstairs stretched dimly across the bedroom floor. Everything looked normal. Then she noticed movement reflected in the mirrored closet door across the room, not directly behind her. Closer! For one impossible second, she saw the shape of someone standing beside the bed. The figure vanished the moment she turned toward it, not fading, not stepping away. Gone instantly as though it had never been there at all. She turned on the lamp so violently she nearly knocked it off the nightstand. Her husband woke immediately, startled more by her reaction than her words. She tried explaining what she saw, but speaking it aloud only made the experience sound fragmented and irrational. A reflection. A shadow. Someone standing beside the bed who disappeared before she could fully turn her head. Even while describing it, part of her hated how unbelievable it sounded. Her husband stayed awake with her the rest of the night. The next morning, he admitted something she hadn't expected. He had started waking during the night, too, not seeing anything, just feeling uneasy. That unsettled her more than she wanted to admit. Over the next few weeks, she and the neighbor spoke several more times, though always indirectly at first. Neither of them wanted to become the kind of people who sat around convincing each other every creak or shadow meant something paranormal. So the conversations stayed cautious and strangely restrained, but little details continued surfacing. The neighbor admitted she had started sleeping with the television on because complete darkness made her uncomfortable now. One morning, she confessed she woke convinced someone had been standing in the hallway outside her bedroom moments earlier, though when she looked, nothing was there. Another resident eventually mentioned strange sleep problems too, though not in the same detail. Then someone else casually joked during a gathering that the houses must have been built on cursed land because nobody in the development seemed capable of sleeping normally anymore. The comment was laughed off immediately. Still, an uncomfortable silence followed afterward. That was when she began looking into the history of the riverfront itself. At first, she found very little beyond the usual redevelopment articles discussing old warehouses and shipping structures demolished years earlier to make room for luxury housing projects. But eventually, she came across references to an industrial accident decades before the homes were built. A fire. Not massive enough to become nationally known, but serious enough that several workers died after becoming trapped inside part of a riverside processing building during the night shift. The strangest detail was how little information remained afterward. Most articles barely discussed the deaths at all. The company itself no longer existed. The buildings had eventually been demolished. Even the exact section of riverfront where the fire occurred seemed unclear, depending on which records she read. Still, one thing kept bothering her. The timing. Most of the workers who died had reportedly been trapped overnight inside the building waiting for rescue crews that never reached them in time. That detail stayed with her. Not because she suddenly believed the figure came from the fire or represented one of the workers exactly. In truth, she still didn't know what she believed. But the idea of people trapped in darkness along that riverfront somehow attached itself to the experiences afterward in a way she could never fully separate. Years have passed since then. She and her husband eventually moved away, though not because of the experiences themselves. Life simply changed the way it always does. New jobs, different city, different house. Nothing like it ever happened again afterward. No figures standing at the foot of the bed. No sudden awakenings filled with panic. No impossible reflections in dark mirrors. But even now, she still cannot wake suddenly in the middle of the night without immediately scanning the room before fully opening her eyes. And every once in a while, usually in those brief, disoriented seconds between sleeping and waking, she still remembers the feeling that frightened her more than the figure itself. The certainty that something had already been standing there in the darkness watching her long before she woke up enough to see it.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.